You're listening to Hearth Casual, the Hearthstone podcast for tavern brawlers, dungeon runners, and everyone else enjoying the game off the ranked ladder.
Greetings, my fellow Hearth Casuals, and welcome to episode 4 of the show. My name is Brian Black, and I am very excited. We are standing on the edge of the end of the Year of the Mammoth, and when all is said and done, about a week from now, quoth the Raven, nevermore to the Year of the Mammoth. With me right now, as always, at least on these full episodes, is the resident dad legend of the show, Mr. Kevin Ellis. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I am doing good. I'm really excited about the Witchwood, man. The Witchwood hype is growing and growing, and we are hours removed from finding out that the release date of the Witchwood is going to be on April 12th, much to everyone's surprise on every Hearthstone podcast. Am I right?
Yeah, the surprising part was actually something I tweeted about this morning, because this morning we got the release date for the Battle for Azeroth expansion coming in August, and I was like, isn't it funny that we have that date, but not the release date for Witchwood, which is probably next week. And then, yeah, same day, they did give us that date. So
it was a huge day for Blizzard announcements. I mean, you had the Battle for Azeroth announcement, Witchwood was announced. Heroes of the Storm got in on the action at PAX East with Deckard Cain.
Yeah, oh my gosh. That they did. I was actually going to ask you, because, you know, we had you on my other podcast a couple months back, Lords of the Storm.
Yes.
And there we had a little segment where we were going over the next hero that we wanted in the game. And yours was Deckard Cain. So I just kind of wanted to ask as a follow up, how pumped are you for him?
I'm so stoked. I had to go into work early. I had planned to watch that whole thing from home, but I had to go into work early, and fortunately things were slow enough at work that I got away with sneaking in at least the first few minutes of that reveal, so I could see it revealed to be Deckard Cain. But the moment that they said, stay a while and listen,
oh, yeah.
There was one customer in the store and the rest were coworkers, and I screamed. I was like, yes! And the customer gave me a weird look, and my coworkers were like, oh my God, here he goes nerding out again.
I think I actually cried a little bit when I saw the stay a while and listen heroic ability.
Oh my God.
Like,
goodness.
I was just like, it's so good. The feels, man.
And I'm sorry for talking Heroes of the Storm on the Hearthstone podcast. If you listen to Lords of the Storm, you'll hear sometimes Hearthstone talked about on a Heroes of the Storm podcast. So that's
actually, we were just talking about a Diablo character being added to Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm
on a
Hearthstone podcast, which is based on World
right.
of Warcraft.
So, like, what are we doing?
I mean, StarCraft, Overwatch. Sorry, but hey,
we'll get you. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Hey, let me pitch this idea to you
sure
real quick.
Next year,
so they're fleshing out the universe of the Nexus for Heroes of the Storm, making it have a little bit more lore. What about a Nexus themed Hearthstone expansion somewhere down the road? Just throwing that one out there.
Yeah. I mean, Hearthstone in the Nexus, I'd be fine with that. We might get some actual StarCraft cards that way. They do a real StarCraft tavern brawl, I'm just
right.
saying. So in this final week of the Mammoth, where things are kind of winding down, Kevin, what's been like the one deck that's been your go-to lately that you're trying to have some fun with before Standard changes entirely?
You know, definitely Big Priest for me, because I honestly hadn't played it much at all until recently. And it's kind of funny, I was thinking it through on this show. We've only had a few, you know, real full episodes, and I've actually cited that I've played, you know, almost every priest archetype out there at this point, frankly. But Big Priest is honestly a lot of fun. It's one in which, of course, you're ideally using Barnes on turn 4 to pull out something huge and then get some resurrect mechanics to bring things back. Things like Obsidian Statue, Ysera, the Lich King, Yog-Saron. What am I thinking? Yashiraj is what I'm thinking of.
There
Although, I mean, Yog can fit in any deck, right? If you have one spell in your deck, just throw him in. It's fine.
I will always worship Yog-Saron in Wild. I will always find a deck that to worship.
Praise Yog. You don't have to worship him in Wild. Just do it in your everyday life. It's fine.
No.
Yeah.
Sure.
But anyway, so it's super fun. It's one of those decks that's kind of like this late in the meta with a week to go in this rotation. You can kind of tell it's upsetting people on the other side, specifically if you do the Barnes on turn four into Yashiraj, because I had a guy today, this morning, super early this morning, where I did that, and he just did the threaten and conceded, and that was it. So it's like,
the elements will destroy you, says the shaman player who concedes. My totem shaman deck will rise one day.
That's right. Hey, it may actually rise next expansion. There's a couple interesting cards there.
We'll be talking about that in a moment. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that you've been mostly talking about priest decks, and I think for the most part, I've been talking about rogue decks, and right now, I've been playing a big rogue deck in Wild, and you're probably wondering, well, what exactly does big rogue mean? Well, it's kind of like big priest, but it gets its minions out in a weirder, different way. It digs into some of the heavy hitters from Wild, like Sylvanas, Sneeds, Shredder, Ragnaros, stuff like that. And it uses things like Kobold Illusionist, which is a card from Kobolds and Catacombs, 4 mana, 3/3 Death Rattle. When it dies, you put a 1/1 copy of a minion in your hand into play. So if you have a Ragnaros in your hand and you play the Illusionist and the Illusionist dies, you got a 1/1 rag. And the thing is, that sounds like it's relatively weak, but there are a lot of cards supporting it. Like things like Baron Rivendare, where you double your death rattles. You have that one minion from Un'Goro, which plays death rattles as soon as a minion is summoned. And so if Kobold Illusionist brings in, say, Sneed Shredder, and you have Baron Rivendare end that out, all of a sudden two legendary minions are hitting the table. It's really fun because there's a whole lot of tricky combinations with it. My favorite Sonya Shadow Dancer from Kobolds and Catacombs, my favorite rogue legendary from that set, my favorite legendary from the set, period, is in there. And it's just a ton of fun to play. I've been having fun in Wild. I even ranked up a little bit with it before we changed over into April. And I think I hit rank 15 Wild. So just had a little bit of casual fun. And it's good times. And that deck's going to still be pretty strong in Wild. And it's kind of competitive. I think it'll see some interesting play going into Witchwood. And there's a card or two in Witchwood I may consider adding in.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you don't, unless you really dig into things with these decks, you don't really think through what are all the applications of Spirit Singer Umbra, which is the card you're talking about, where, you know, neutral, 4 mana, 3/4, after you summon a minion, trigger its death rattle effect. I mean, that's huge in Q block right now in the regular meta, but standard meta, I should say. But yeah, endless possibilities in Wild, like forever. So yeah, that's really cool. Keep them coming, man. They're just totally interesting decks.
Oh, yeah. And we'll try to include deck codes and all that in the show notes for each of the decks that we talked about here. It's funny that, you know, Kevin, you've been playing in Standard. I've been playing a lot of Wild lately as we're about to hit this whole rotation. And a couple days before we're recording this show, you actually brought up an interesting topic, and I just kind of want you to kick it off, because it's worth talking about, especially as we're getting into this whole year changeover.
Yeah, well, and also because we're gearing ourselves toward the casual audience.
Yeah.
And I think they're largely going to be the group that's thinking about doing this kind of thing. So what I'm talking about is, so we've got the Standard rotation coming up, literally a week from when we're recording it. And so we have with that, of course, the Old Gods, Karazhan, and Mean Streets expansions dropping into Wild. And, you know, there's an argument to be made where if you think to yourself, you know, I mean, of all the game modes, Standard is the one I want to focus on the most. It's what the HCT pros follow. I mean, yes, there's things like the Wild Open and a few other, you know, like the Brawl Lyceum and that sort of thing. But, you know, maybe as a casual, I'm not so worried about those. And honestly, I've got some Old Gods. I've got some stuff from Karazhan and Mean Streets that I could just dust all of it, right? And go into this next expansion with a ton of dust. And so, I mean, there's definitely some merit to that. again, I know there's going to be some people that just stick with standard and call it good, feel satisfied enough. And the reason I bring this up as a discussion point, though, is because that's actually the decision I made as we rolled around last time into Un'Goro. At the
right,
time,
from Kraken to Mammoth.
Yeah, from Kraken to Mammoth. So at the time, I knew that I was really going to be pushing for Legend the month that Un'Goro came out. And I did get it. That is the month that I got it. But I didn't get it on the back of the deck that I dusted everything to build. I was dusting everything to build a Ray Seas Taunt Warrior at the time, the Quest Warrior, mm-hmm. which was still really good at the time. But in the end, it was just Pirate Warrior that did it for me. So when I look back on that decision, I even kind of said it at the time. I was like, you know, this feels kind of permanent to be dusting like the League of Explorers cards. Honestly, when I hovered over Reno to dust him, I was just like, what am I doing to myself?
Whoa, you actually dusted Reno?
I dusted Reno and all of them.
Whoa.
Literally all of the wild cards. Gone. The Golden Ragnaros that I had crafted to put in the Hall of Fame, gone. And
whoa! Okay.
Did you not know this about me?
I almost feel like we need to call the Blizzard police on this
yeah,
one. I'm podcasting with a criminal man.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I really wanted that legend. And I mean, I did get it, but again, not because of all of this. And yes, okay, sure. There's probably a lot of cards right now that I have in standard that I wouldn't have if I hadn't made that investment. But
sure.
Man, again, so at the time I said to myself, this feels like I'm getting a tattoo. Like this feels permanent. I mean, it isn't really permanent. I mean, I can undo it for sure, but that would be really expensive.
Laser removal, but it's costly.
Expensive and painful, which is what it would be to replenish all that at this point. And so now, like, yeah, I look back, and one of the main detriments to me so far has been in my ability to go through PvE content. So if it wasn't for some of the tricks that you can do with Murlocs taking down the Lich King, I don't know if I'd have had an easy time with that. Even so, I'd looked up a really good deck to play against him as a warrior, but I would have needed a ton of stuff. I would have needed Kel'Thuzad, so many other cards that I just did not have. And so looking forward to PvE content, since that's something I want to focus on for this show and just in general, I mean, we've kind of gotten lucky with, you know, of course, the Dungeon Run and the upcoming one here with Witchwood, and that I don't really need to worry about my collection. But should they release stuff down the road in which I could pull from all of my wild collection, not to mention things like Brawls and, of course, another wild Brawliseum when it comes up, I really am hamstrung and I genuinely regret my decision. So I'm just kind of throwing this out there as a PSA to people thinking about doing it. I have done it. I think there's some logic behind it, but you may end up regretting it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to agree with you here. Honestly, as someone who, for the great majority of Kraken and like 3/4 of Mammoth, I played standard format. Mm-hmm. Or actually, I think in Kraken, was Wild a thing in Kraken? I don't think it even was back then. But my point being, I played mostly standard until near the end of the year when I branched out into wild. And one thing that I've found was whenever a Tavern Brawl would come up that allowed you to play wild cards or whenever I was feeling like I needed a change of pace, the wild format helped me find the fun again in Hearthstone. You play standard forever, and I'm not even talking about ranked standard. I just mean standard. Mm-hmm. There are fun decks you can build in standard, sure, but those same fun decks in standard can, after a while, get old, and sometimes you want to change it up. Sometimes you want to just go back to some old favorites. Reno is a great example. I loved playing Reno Jackson in some wild decks the past few months. It's a great card. It's a strong card. Kazakus is cool and stuff. And there's another thing. Kazakus, he made the whole one of deck may not be a thing during the Year of the Raven, but in wild, the Reno deck is still going to be a pretty strong competitor. And it's just a lot of fun too. It's kind of fun. The more cards you have, the more crazy combinations that you can make in wild.
Especially in the Highlander decks.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who are like, well, I'm mostly a standard person, I don't care about wild, All I can say to you is I hear you, and I understand that's how you feel right now, but you may find yourself at a time where, like me, you were finally getting tired of Standard and you weren't sure, do I still want to keep on playing Hearthstone or do I want to try to do something to find the fun again? Wild will help you find the fun again, I think, if you hold on to your cards in your collection. So when it comes to dusting, I agree with Kevin. Think twice. Take a good long thought about it. And if you have Golden Ragnaros, don't dust them. I have Golden Lich King.
That's pretty cool.
That Golden Lich King, yes, I am never dusting that card ever. I don't care. Once he rotates out into the next year, he will be there forever and ever. He is my prized possession.
You have a Golden Frostmourne with that.
Yes.
Like all the Death Knight cards are golden. That's too cool.
Yes.
I am so jelly.
It is awesome. Well, all right, moving on. One thing that we do talk about here on Hearth Casual pretty much every week is a Tavern Brawl, so let's get right to it.
Brawl!
All right, Kevin, Blessing of the Raven, tell us a little bit about this brawl.
So this one's pretty straightforward overall, for sure. It's where you just choose a class and receive a pre-built deck ahead of time. And so then the catch, of course, is that the Raven is giving his blessing to your cards. So any minions that are summoned gain either lifesteal, wind fury, poisonous, charge, or stealth. And the interesting thing about that, too, notice that the keyword there is summoned and not played. Really, anytime you see that verbiage in anything, in instructions, on cards, etc., it's talking not just about, of course, cards that are played from your hand, but also anything that just comes up, so little tokens that appear, anything like that. Like I played Call in the Finishers, the Shaman card, where you get those just 1-1. Yeah, yeah.
4-1-1s, yeah. Crazy 1-1s.
4-1-1 yeah. Murlocs, and two of them were poisonous, so that was a huge deal, you know? And that was off a spell. So that's just to illustrate that they're going to have the effect. It's just kind of like an aura effect in the sense that they're going to have one of those options. And it's random witch, so, I mean, yes, there's a lot of RNG into winning, but some of it just feels super good, honestly. I have enjoyed this one so far. For being one of those random ones where you have a pre-built deck, it's honestly kind of fun.
And you know, that's the one catch to this. It's a pre-built deck, so you're pretty much playing with what they give you. And this is that one kind of brawl where like you have this random rule, and we know how the rule plays out, and there's definitely ways to take advantage of the rule and abuse the rule. And Kevin, I just wish that this had been one where we could build our own deck. Because even for casual players, there are common cards. You don't need to have necessarily big epic or legendary cards to abuse that whole summoning rule. Things like Imp Master, Call in the Finishers, like you said. Heck, Shaman is like a great class for this brawl just because of the fact that it can summon totems. You can have totems that end up having, you could have a stealth healing totem. You could have a poisonous fire totem. I mean, it's crazy. And I had a lot of fun with this. I would say if you haven't tried this brawl out yet, start off with Shaman for just some of the reasons that Kevin and I have mentioned here. I think you'll find the most fun there. Mage is pretty solid, too, from what I've experienced. I've completed a mage quest just playing nothing but mage brawls with this, and that's been kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this has been surprisingly fun. When I first started playing it, I was like, well, okay, this is going to be quick. But it's wacky, and it's really kind of a coin flip, I feel, on whether you're going to win or lose. So if you have a bad win streak, just keep at it. You'll probably end up with some sort of broken combination that makes your opponent quit. But it's just a bunch of fun.
Yeah. Oh, I want to throw in there. Paladin's pretty good, too, for the same kind of reason, in that you're guaranteed some kind of a 1-1 with your hero power. And again, if it has poisonous, that could get pretty serious pretty quick. So
It's just a bananas kind of brawl for anything that can just summon extra minions and get extra value that when you get Wind Fury and Lifesteal and all that stuff, it just works out great. So have fun with the Blessing of the Raven. If you're listening to this over the weekend, because of the name of the brawl, and it's kind of a whole lead into the Year of the Raven, I have a feeling like we may not see this brawl in its exact same form again anytime soon. So make sure you play it and, hey, get that free pack.
Yeah, if nothing else. And, you know, it's honestly okay to have a more relaxed, goofy one this time, especially sure. after one that, you know, some people would consider goofy, the one from last week. But you took us through a very serious look at it. And I appreciated that.
Oh, hey, Miniature Warfare is one of my favorite brawls of all time. And
it's good stuff.
You're gonna find any time that we have a brawl where we can build decks, I always want to try to go into a little more detail on it. When we have brawls here where the decks are being dealt to us and the rules are pretty much simple, you're going to find that our breakdowns are relatively shorter. But you know what? I don't mind that we have a short breakdown this week because, Kevin, we've got a lot more to talk about. Witchwood is a week away. More cards have been revealed, unlike a whole lot of other shows out there. Great shows. We're not going to do a full card breakdown here because we want to try to get out of here in about 40 minutes. So, as per the tradition here on Hearth Casual that's being started up here, Kevin and I have each chosen three cards that have been revealed from Witchwood that we are going to talk about today. I want to start off with a Hunter card, and I'm really interested by some of the Hunter cards that we are seeing in Witchwood. In particular, one is Dire Frenzy. And Dire Frenzy is 4 mana, and it reads, give a beast +3/+3, shuffle 3 copies of this into your deck. And, oh my gosh, Stone Tusk Boar says hi.
Yes, it does. And not for the first time. It came back in Quest Rogue, and it appears to be back again. So this is really interesting because Blizzard's actually said in the past that they often run into balance issues with Stone Tusk Boar because just the 1-mana, 1/1 charge on a beast can have synergy with things like this. So Blizzard clearly made this card knowing that that was still the case. I mean, Stone Tusk Boar wasn't rotated into the Hall of Fame, although it might be someday. That wouldn't be that surprising at all. I think it would surprise some people. But
depending on this, because Stone Tusk Boar, because it's a 1/1 charge and it's so cheap to get out, and then when you can do like card buffs like this, I can see how a card like the Boar could limit certain design space. But I think Hunter, in general, in like just the state of the game, the metagame and all that stuff, Hunter is in a place where the dev team feels like it's worth giving it a little bit of crazy stuff.
Yeah. And honestly, like as we look across Hunter throughout Witchwood, it seems like they're pushing kind of a more mid-range control-y sort of late game build. And I'm more excited for Hunter than any other class going into this. Like if I could experiment on anyone, it's Mr. Rexxar for sure. So, if I'm reading this card correctly, though, on Dire Frenzy, so let's take our Stone Tusk Boar back into consideration. So 5 mana, we throw one out, we put Dire Frenzy on it, it hits for 4/4 as a charge, shuffles 3 copies of that 4/4 Stone Tusk Boar back into your deck. There's a little bit of a downside in that you've kind of thickened your deck and reduced your chances of drawing into other things, but I mean, who doesn't want to charge into a charge, or rather draw into a charging 4/4, especially when you could do that again and Dire Frenzy the buffed one, and now you've got charging 7/7 Stone Tusk Boars.
Yeah, I'm not, I would think that buff stacks up. I don't see why it shouldn't. I think it's one of those things where we're just going to have to play out and see for sure.
Only because of the wording saying shuffle 3 copies into your deck with +3/+3. Maybe it's saying copy the base card.
Copies are from the original state. Yeah, it should. It probably will not stack then.
Gotcha.
That's a good point.
We'll have to see. But either way, it's still exciting. Either way. When you think about Dire Frenzy on Build-A-Beasts, there's a whole world there.
Oh, yeah. Shuffling, being able to shuffle Build-A-Beast into your deck, that's pretty cool. One thing to keep in mind, there is a 5-mana card, Tolvir something, Hunter card, 3/5, that when it comes into play, Battlecry is draw 2/1 cast cards, right? That are from your deck. I could imagine a weird kind of fun Hunter deck in which Stone Tusk Boar was your only one drop. and you use that guy in order to get frenzied boars out on like turn 6 or 7 and then be able to play the boars right away and go in for an extra 4/8 mana. It's one of those things where there's a lot of interesting design space here, and I think you could build a mid-range kind of control-y deck and throw in that combo and have a little extra oomph.
Couldn't agree more. Super excited for Hunter.
Yeah, those are going to be some fun beast beatings. There's another fun beast, though, that you're going to talk about.
Yeah, and I honestly threw this in our agenda for all this last minute because I have to talk about Camellios.
All right.
Like, there's no way around it. When I first saw this card, my initial reaction was, this is the craziest card I've ever seen in the history of the game. And I may stand by that even now. And we've seen some crazy stuff. The next one I'm going to cover is pretty darn crazy, too. But so Camellios, if you didn't see it, it's one of the priest legendaries. It is a 1-mana, 1/1 beast, or so you thought. Until each turn this is in your hand, transform it into a card your opponent is holding. So this is kind of going down the same design space as things like Shifter Zeris. There's like that blade. I forget the name of the warrior blade that can turn into any weapon. Molten Blade. And then yeah. Like the spell Shifting Scroll, whatever the name of that one is for Mage.
Shifting Scroll.
Nailed it.
You got it.
Yes, indeed. So, but this is taking that mechanic, turning it on its head, and doing something that Priest honestly does well and has throughout its life with things like Mind Vision, things like we've seen so many instances in which the Priest can kind of discover what's in your deck, what's in your hand, but this is doing it in a just totally different way. So if Camellios is in your hand, turn one, and you're playing against any deck, I don't know, it doesn't matter. Obviously, it has some better implications if you're going up against a control deck and going for the late game, probably. But even so, if I was going up against aggro, often they dump cards quicker. So if they've just got two cards left in their hand and I know what one of them is, I've got 50% of my perfect information on them. And if they cycle through those and I'm doing my proper hand reads and all that, I could just literally know every card in their hand. And that's true across the board. If he's just in your hand long enough, and as long as you have good RNG with what he's transforming into, you have the chance of having perfect information about your opponent's hand, and you also have a chance to use some of their strongest tools against them. So again, going into the late game, I'm playing against a control warlock or whatever's happening in that space. I wait and I see, it's turn 9, and my Camellios just turned into a Void Lord. Guess I'm dropping the Void Lord, or Blood Reaver Gul'dan, or anything. So it's just so cool. I think you could put him in every deck Priest ever runs and be fine.
Oh, yeah. If you told me that Priest is going to get a card where for 0 mana, you'll be able to know what one card of your opponent's deck is for the entire game, but you can't do anything else with it, I'd still run the card in my deck.
Even if it was unplayable.
Yeah.
Like it costs 20 mana or something.
And just the fact that it has that option to, if you want to give up the ability to look at your opponent's deck, but you get a cool thing that you want to play, like a Death Knight hero or something like that, that's really just icing on the cake. Having knowledge of what your opponent is holding on to is so good. The value on this card is insane, and quite honestly, even as just a fun card, this card is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If you like the Priest class and you are thinking about crafting a legendary, I would not blame you for crafting this on day one.
Oh, not at all. I would think that this is the craft of the whole set so far.
Mm.
In my opinion. I mean, again, obviously it's a Priest card. You'd have to be invested enough in Priest to try it. But didn't I just tell you guys the last like 3 episodes that I've been playing Priest? I want to keep it going for sure.
Well, running with that theme, there is a legendary which I plan to craft on day one if I do not open it up in my billion packs that I have. By billion, I mean close to 100. But Dullmaster Dorian, it's a neutral legendary that was revealed not too long ago. And I've been very interested in what the neutral legendaries were going to be because we had 3 revealed very early. That means that there were 2 left. There's still one we don't know about. But this one really has me excited, especially based on some of the stuff that I've been playing recently. So Dollmaster Dorian's a 5-mana, 2/6, reads, whenever you draw a minion, summon a 1/1 copy of it. So as has been said by a few other people, this is kind of like a hybrid of Barnes meets Madame Goya in a weird way, as Disguised Toast put it. And, you know, I love being able to summon 1/1 copies of Death Rattle creatures, and I feel like Dorian is going to be a really fun card to work into wild Death Rattle decks. As far as its potential in Standard, I can see it doing some kind of neat things in Standard Death Rattle decks too. So obviously Priest, Hunter, Rogue, I think are going to make the most use of this. Of course, decks where you have cards with Battlecry effects aren't going to be that great. You're going to probably lean toward the classes that have a whole lot of Death Rattles, and especially Death Rattles that tend to have powerful effects. We just had the whole Major Warfare Brawl that I spent 20 minutes talking about. What if you ran a Hunter Death Rattle deck and you draw Violet Worm while this is in play? Oh, hello.
Right.
You have a 1/1 Violet Worm that gets to summon a whole bunch of beasts. This is obviously a very meme-ish fun card. I don't see this being something that if you're trying to play, you know, building on the ladder and stuff like that, that you're going to run it, unless someone figures out some really weird broken combo that just takes everyone by storm. But that's why I love talking about it on this show, because this card has fun written all over it, Kevin.
Yeah.
And as someone who loves Death Rattles, for me, this is like my favorite card of the set so far.
And the art is super creepy. So actually,
I know.
In this week's Brawl, when you play it, the innkeeper, Hearthstone Brew, comes up a few times to just talk about the Year of the Raven coming up. And one of his lines is talking about how the Year of the Raven is going to be creepier than usual, which actually makes me kind of think about the next two expansions. Are they also going to be kind of creepy? Anyway, point is, on this, so the artwork has Dorian has apparently taken one of his eyes and put it on the doll, or perhaps he's just making a doll in his own resemblance. I am not sure there, but either way, he's definitely got a creepy smile, and I can't wait to see what the golden version of this looks like. Like, is he maybe moving the eyes in some way? I don't know. If you listen to The Angry Chicken already this week, Jocelyn Moffat was freaking out about this card. So, good times there. But anyway, I'm really excited for him. I think in some ways he's weaker than Barnes, but in some ways he's not.
Oh, he definitely is.
Well, I mean, the stat line, as well as, like, you also give away to your opponent what you just drew because of this. But, I mean, it's whenever you draw minions. So it's kind of like you were talking about Rogue. I mean, it's 9 mana. Oh, that's a lot to pay for the bodies you're getting. But if you do him into Elven Minstrel, combo draw 2 minions from your deck, you get the 1/1s off those. And if they're really strong Death Rattles or, you know, onboard effects, again, going back to your 1/1s of Ragnaros in Wild, now we're talking. So,
yeah, and also, I mean, if you can find a way to protect Dorian, like if you include, you know, some efficient taunts to put him behind, maybe taunts with Death Rattle effects like in Wild, you know, you put him behind like Abomination or something like that, because Abomination's Death Rattle effect can be kind of cool too. Kill your 1/1 dolls to get some Death Rattle effects really quick. There's some tweaking and tuning that you'll have to do to really take the most advantage of him. If you play him, expect him to die right away. So this is kind of one of those cards where unless you have a way to keep him protected after you drop him, you're going to want to try to have cards in your deck that take advantage of value with him late in the game, like the Minstrel, like you said, or just other cards that draw cards. The biggest example and the big fun example someone brought up is Roll the Bones. If you make a Rogue deck which has practically nothing but Death Rattle minions in there, and you have this guy out, and you do Roll the Bones, all of a sudden you're probably summoning a whole bunch of 1/1s.
Maybe filling your board, because it keeps churning through, right?
Mm-hmm. Until you hit a non-Death Rattle card. So
please.
That's a combo I'm going to try to run the first week.
I was going to say, please do that the first day. I want to hear that story. Oh, yeah. I maybe even want to spectate that one. So
Oh, yeah. That's happening.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So another card that's happening and another card that's a creepy doll is a card that I'm actually questioning the direction Blizzard's going in their card design on. And that is Voodoo Doll. So this is a neutral epic. So at least it's an epic. They're a little bit rarer in Arena, perhaps. But craft these too, because, all right, so it's a 3-mana 1/1, which of course does not sound good baseline, but you kind of want it to die because it's a battle cry, choose a minion, death rattle, destroy the chosen minion. So I want to point out the word destroy here, first of all. It is linked to a term that you might have heard thrown around a little bit. We had an email actually requesting that we cover a term per episode. So here's a little mini segment on that one. There's a term floating around called hard removal, which, yes. I mean, you've got removals in the game. Like Fireball is a 4-mana spell that does 6 damage to whatever you want. If that kills something that has 6 health or less, then yes, you've removed it. But a hard removal is more in the space of like Rogue's Assassinate, where again, you just destroy the minion. And that includes like if it has a, you know, a divine shield on it or any number of other effects. Obviously, no matter how buffed it is or how huge it is, it's dead. And that's the point with Voodoo Doll. Whatever you've picked, as long as you can somehow reliably ensure that your death rattle goes off, it is dead. And this is an open card for everyone. All the classes can do it. All the classes have hard removal now because of this. And yeah. When you think about it, so obviously the most reliable way to make sure that this gets off is to go ahead and kill your own Voodoo Doll on that turn. When you think about it, like for instance, mages just have Assassinate now because Assassinate's a 5-mana card in Rogue. And this would be 5-mana to put it down, choose your target, ping it off with your own hero power.
It's more efficient than Polymorph and pinging?
Yep. And although you would trigger their death rattle. So there's the difference with transform effects like Polymorph. But, okay, so
True. Think
about some other combinations you can do here. Dark Pact in Warlock, where you get 8 health from it as well. For 4-mana, you kill whatever you want and get 8 health back.
I'm sorry, really quick aside here. Dark Pact is a freaking broken card.
They need to nerf that thing down
to like 5 health or 6 health.
Three. I think 3 would be fine. I honestly think 3 would be fine. Because you would still use it with this. So think again about Defile. One of the problems with Defile sometimes is that you don't always have that one health card to trigger a sequence of them. So picture a board in which you can Defile down something that ends in 2, 3, and 4 health. And then also choose their, Ysera, and kill it that turn too.
Yeah.
For 5-mana, you can do that. Come next week. And so that's why this is just insane. I mean, there's obviously some cards that wouldn't benefit from that as much. But when you think about it too, okay, so self-removal aside, just putting it down, it's like a poisonous minion in a sense. In that if you don't handle it in a super specific way, then it's going to go off and something has died that possibly shouldn't have. Something huge.
Basically, once that thing hits the board, if you're playing against someone and they drop that doll and they don't kill it the turn they play it, what they are forcing you to do is, okay, this minion's going to die pretty much on my next turn. If you're going to do anything with it, do it now.
Right. And the things you have to do with it are you'd have to silence.
Yep.
Or, again, polymorph, do some sort of transform effect, hex. You could psychic scream it back, but how bad does that feel to spend 7 mana to dump whatever your minion was anyway and this doll back into your opponent's hand? Things like that are what you have to do to remove it. And here's the thing. So I was talking about Control Warlock earlier and how good Void Lords are. So you'd play this on 3 just to bait out a silence, and then they wouldn't be able to silence your Void Lord later. So it's just, and I haven't even, I could talk for an hour on this card, I think, but I haven't even started about how good this is in Arena because you don't always have those options readily available to you.
It's going to be one of the best picks in Arena. It's kind of like the Basilisk. It's better than the Basilisk in Arena. Absolutely.
Yep. And I have a problem with this card. I do want to play with this now. This sounds like super fun. Mm-hmm. I'll even do it for 2 years if you'd like, but Blizzard, please nerf it before it goes into Wild, because I don't want Wild to have this for 10 years. That's all I'm saying. Because they will use it too.
Well, my last card that I want to talk about here, and now you see, folks, why we're only doing six cards and not all of the cards that were revealed. Right. The last card I want to talk about here is a shaman card. Shaman's been, you know, people are kind of judgmental of shaman in Witchwood. There's like, oh my gosh, here's all these cards with like random spells and stuff like that and such. And Kevin, I'm going to talk about a totem card for shaman.
Yes,
because that's how casual we are. It's called Totem Cruncher. This was just revealed a few hours before the recording of the show, and is a 4-mana beast, 2 attack, 3 health, taunt, and reads battle cry, destroy your totems, gain +2/+2 for each destroyed. So if you're a shaman player and you're running at least one token on your board, if you only have one totem, rather, and you play this, you're essentially getting a 4/5 taunt. So that's a Yeti with taunt. That's some pretty decent value. Yeah. If you are playing Totem Shaman and you are running spells and minions which get you extra totems out on the board and you're playing a totem heavy deck, if you have, let's say you have 3 totems out. Let's say you have 2 of your basic totems and a flame tongue, or 2 of your basics and a manatide totem, or whatever like that. This thing is an 8/9 taunt for 4 mana. This is, now, once again, I just said 4 mana 8/9. You thought 4 mana 7/7 was insane?
Right.
Try 4 mana 8/9. And Kevin, you can have 3 totems out by turn 4, if you play the right cards.
Yep, that you could. And I mean, there's really a lot of totem synergy coming out now.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I don't know the names of the cards off the top of my head, but there's one in which you play it and you get to choose right out the gate. And then there's several others. There's things now where one of these new cards is a neutral that refreshes your hero power, which churns out a few more. I'm not sure how much you'd want to invest down that road to get this card to work, but I'm with you. I mean, even one is a Yeti with taunt. And honestly, like in a total vacuum, no, a 4 mana 2/3 taunt, that's not what you want. But no. In a pinch, I mean, it has taunt. It would block a hit from something huge. And even just playing it vanilla wouldn't be the end of the world. So
I'm seeing this deck that I'm going to run Totem Shaman because I'm just that kind of weird person. I'm going to run Shaman. Turn one, if I get the coin, it's going to be turn one, coin, totem. Turn two, totem. Turn three, totem. Turn four, hi, I have an 8/9. Have a nice day.
Yep.
And then they're going to voodoo doll, and then I'm going to cry.
Well, or you throw out a voodoo doll first and make them silence that so they can't silence your giant taunt. Sky's the limit. I like it, though. And the art's cool in this, too. My last one, so I hate to just talk about some of these legendaries, although Voodoo Doll wasn't, but Toki the Time Tinker. Like, oh, so this is one where I know in actually my Lords of the Storm Discord, one of my good buddies, L Train, was just looking at the art of this because her face was kind of announced in a preview where they just showed a lot of the just small windows of the card art, but no explanation for the announcement.
Yeah, she's one of the characters in the Monster Hunt.
Yeah, that too. And so just in general, like, we were intrigued to see what this was all about. And it's, I think, I mean, it's meme-tastic, but it's awesome. So it's a 6 mana 5/5. And Toki the Time Tinker, battle cry, add a random legendary minion from the past to your hand. And by the past, we mean
from the past.
Wild into standard. So I love that they did that, first of all. It seemed like one of those, maybe even written rules that they just broke, you know, like they're just like, hey, let's do this for fun. And it's honestly one of those deals where, like, so when you're evaluating cards, and this is kind of true and something to keep in mind as they announce the rest of them too. So in the past, we've seen Blizzard kind of, you know, make the stat lines of the cards work in some cases. By that, I mean, if you see a like 6 mana 5/5 here, that's not terrible. I mean, it's Sylvanas. We've seen so many of these in the past. It's certainly playable cards. And so
the priest legendary is 6 mana 5/5 Lady in White.
Yeah, which is also super playable, probably in every priest deck as well. So both those legendaries are for priest. Good times. But yeah, so my point is this is a playable stat line for sure. It's a little undercosted for what you get, and it's fine. I mean, you draw a card, essentially. regardless of what that legendary turns out to be, you've got more options than you had before. So, I mean, it's a little slow, but anyway, I'm super excited for it because the stories that are going to come out of this are nuts.
This is the trolling card of the set.
Oh, no question.
This is the card that's going to lead to a lot of trolling videos. There will be a trolling video on YouTube that has nothing but run-ins with Toki and the things that she summons and how they end up just completely making a game stupid crazy. And mind you, Barnes may be leaving, but maybe Barnes is coming back for a one-night performance.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
and just think, like, you could Toki on 6 and Dr. Boom on 7. Dr. 7's back, you know?
You know what, though? I've got to say, Dr. 7 doesn't have as...
Oh, I know. It's not as good as it once
was. Yeah, he's Dr. Boom. He's not as good as we once thought he was when you compare him to like some of the other stuff out there. But it'd be fun to play Dr. Boom in standard. Sure. Yeah. Why not?
No, yeah, I'm all for it. So, but yeah, I just wanted to point this one out as definitely one that's going to have some memes to it. Definitely fun. I mean, this is one that if I have enough dust, I'm just going to craft her because there's just so much fun to be had with this one. And again, so yeah, let me end with that one tip yet again. As you're evaluating the rest of the cards, watch the stat lines. If it's a pretty vanilla stat line with what you've got, you know, 5 mana 5/5 that has a real cool effect, then you know Blizzard wants you to play that card, and it's going to be in decks.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've covered half the cards that we've revealed here. Of course, are legendaries, and or talked about there are legendaries, and half of them aren't. Obviously, when it comes to the fun cards in the set, it's not just all about legendaries. There's some neat little cards that are at other rarities too. You're going to find a number of epics are doing some crazy, silly things. One bit of advice that I would give to you is when it comes to deciding what you're going to craft, just take some time and think it through. Take a look at the whole set. We're going to have that final reveal on Monday, I believe, with Day 9 and Ben Brode. And then once they're done, shortly after that, the whole set's going to be revealed and up there. If you have a little bit of time between, you know, Monday and the time that Witchwood comes out, spend a little time, take a look at the set, and have a little knowledge ahead of time of, hey, what cards are looking neat? What cards are ones that you want to craft? Because I know that it's all too easy to impulse craft a legendary and then 1 or 2 weeks later regret it.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. I've done that enough times at this point for sure. Especially when, you know, the meta fleshes out and some decks become really strong and you I really have to try Q block now, but I don't have XYZ, you know? So yeah, it's definitely something to watch and take your time on. If you are a net decker, then you might do a little bit of that too. One of the great resources right out the gate I found is Twitter. If you follow a bunch of people on Twitter, mm-hmm. for sure. A place I found too, Disguised Toast's website is often really good right at a launch too, to just kind of see what some pros and what some community members are experimenting with and just kind of build off it from there. So
if you do use Twitter a lot, Walk to Work HS, guy, he is one of the best people to follow on Twitter, especially for, like, you know, keeping track of like what's happening in standard, what's working, what isn't. Highly recommended.
Couldn't agree more. One last thing I have to say about Witchwood before we move on. It's a little honorable mention. I just want to mention the cheap shot spell on Rogue.
Sure.
The artwork in this, I don't even see a knife. It just looks like two dudes hugging.
I don't see a knife either. I thought there was like a kidney punch going on or something. I don't know.
It could be that he's sticking the knife in the elf's side there and we just don't see it. But I mean, again, it's just two guys hugging. Having a great time.
Sometimes you just need to hug it out, Kevin.
I think so.
Kevin, we're a week away from Witchwood right now. Any last final thoughts before the year changes over from Mammoth the Raven?
Just only that it's the most fun time in Hearthstone. Like when we switched over from Mammoth to, or not Mammoth, rather Kraken to Mammoth, it was just so fun. The meta becomes whatever. You don't know what people are going to be doing. If you hop in and play the first few days, you could run into anything, and you will run into anything, and you'll be running anything, and it's just awesome. So I say just embrace it top to bottom. I mean, I mentioned net decking earlier, but honestly, if you want to have the most fun, don't. Just sit there and say to yourself, I wonder what that cheap shot Echo Rogue with the new Legendary would look like, and just build it. Just do it.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the best times to be creative with your deck building and have fun. I mean, there are going to be a lot of creative fun decks that people come up with and toss up on the internet. But you know what? I would definitely advise try building your own deck. Try doing your own thing. You may discover that you find a deck that is so much fun that you end up putting it up on the interwebs for other people to net deck. And that's really a fun feeling. If you ever craft a deck and then you share it with other people and people are like, wow, this is a really good deck, that can be an awesome feeling. I had something slightly like that for all of about 2 days until people realized, well, actually, no, that deck actually sucks.
Oh, really? What deck was this?
I tweaked the Elemental Rogue deck that Brian Kibler came out with.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I took out about 7 or 8 cards and put in some things. I went a bit more jade heavy on it. So it was less elemental and more jade, but it was a deck that people really hadn't been playing and it caught on and people were enjoying it. So
yeah.
And then about 2 or 3 days later, people were like, okay, I'm tired of this deck.
True. But that's the dream though, right? Coming up with an archetype that defines a meta. Like if I come up with a tier 3 deck that sticks around on the Tempo Storm stuff, I'm cool. I'm happy.
I hope to one day have a deck that Hearthstone ends up making a blog post about, like, this deck is not one of the usual decks, but it got the legend. That'd be great.
Yep.
But that would require me to actually go on a rank ladder. And yeah, so.
It's all good.
That's a time for another talk. Kevin, until our next episode, and where can people find you on the interwebs and otherwise?
Oh, I'm on Twitter at Multizord, MultiZord. And I'm also on a show called Lords of the Storm, which is on Twitter at Lords of the Storm. It's also live Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Central on twitch.tv/Lords of the Storm. And so last week we recorded yesterday. So the episode that's out now is a day before the Deckard Cain announcement, and we recorded our reactions anyway without knowing what was coming up.
You were that sure?
Yes, that's right. And we were right, kind of. So yeah, there you go.
A good number of people were right about it, and I'm glad that they were, including myself. Oh, yeah. You can follow me on Twitter, folks, at Rowow. That's Rhowow. I also do a couple of podcasts besides this one. One is called Realm Maintenance. That's for podcasts covering all of Blizzard games, and I throw in a little bit of news in there as well. You can also find me on a World of Warcraft podcast called The Rolling Restart, and if you're into WoW, give that one a bit of a check out, and it'd be greatly appreciated. How about for people that want to send us emails and tell us what they want to hear us talk about, how can
we by all means, you can reach us on Twitter as well, at HearthCasual, and you can email us as well, hearthcasual@gmail.com. We've gotten a couple good emails so far, so thanks for those. And in those, of course, you can let us know the kinds of things you'd like us to talk about. One of the requests was, again, to have at least one of the terms that we use covered per episode. We're going to try to squeeze those in. It was I'm glad I was able to get hard removal in there on Voodoo Doll. But I like that idea. I definitely think we should do those. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff we're looking for sure. But also, you guys might be looking for some Witchwood cards. And you can get those by following our show and retweeting the episode post for this episode to be entered to win 7 packs of the Witchwood when it launches, which again, I don't know, is the 12th.
Yeah.
So soon.
Yeah, those packs will be handed out on the 12th. We already had our winner from episode 3, and I have it on a doc that I can't pull up right now, but we did have a winner for episode 3. I mentioned it on episode 3.5, and on next week's show, I will mention the winner for the episode 4 post. Speaking of next week's show, because Witchwood is launching, what I may do is put up the 0.5 Brawl episode episode a little early, and we'll see. We might do two episodes next week. We might not. Who knows? It all depends on scheduling and timing, but we're going to have a lot of fun with Witchwood. Whenever you hear both Kevin and I talking again about the set, we're going to have a lot of early first impressions to share with you guys. I'm sure it's
if we do record next week, it's the day it comes out, so we'd have some fresh opinions. I'm not against it, though.
Sure.
I mean, we'll see how the timing works and everything. But
well, we'll see what the wife and the baby say.
Kind of what it comes down to. It. The baby, by the way, said, wake up at 4 a.m. today, which is why if you have heard me trip over any of my words, now you know why.
Well, I'm going to let you get some sleep. Folks, have fun as the year changes over into the Year of the Raven. As always, you can find us on any of your major podcasting apps. You can go online to hearthcasual.frozenfoxmedia.com. If you'd like to show some support for this show, give us some 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, TuneIn, all that good stuff. Reviews, word of mouth is great. If you want to throw a little more support than just that, go to patreon.com/realmpodcast. That is the Patreon for Realm Maintenance Productions, which produces this show. Show a little support that way for all the podcasts coming out there. That'd be greatly appreciated. Folks, until next week, and whatever the next episode is for Kevin and I, this is Brian Black telling you once again, quoth the Raven, nevermore, Mammoth.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.